Amen? All right. So before we get into the message today, what I would like to do is just pray us in. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in and through our lives. And Father God, I just pray that I may decrease as you increase. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you use me to deliver your word this morning, that you use me to help your holy scriptures come alive in all of us so that we can apply it to our life, so that we can be the light and salt of this earth, which is so deeply needed today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so give me a second. Let me get my stuff together. Again, church, my name is DJ. I'm a deacon here. I've been leading the men's ministry for 4 years. I get the honor and privilege to preach today. It's my first Sunday preaching, which is really cool. it's mind-blowing. I'm going to try not to cry because it's so heavy on my heart. But I want to share a little bit about myself. How did I come to this church? So I came to this church back at the small His place in Huntington Beach. I was invited to an AA meeting, Sons of Thunder, Friday night at 6:30. And at the time when I got invited, I was addicted to prescription medication. And my alcoholism had already caused me a ton of wreckage in my life. And I could not stay clean and sober to save my life. So I got invited to Friday night Sons of Thunder at the old church. And what got me there was free hot dogs and cheeseburgers. Because at the time I was a little husky, you know. It wasn't hard to trick me into something. And I showed up there. And it was different, you know. And what I felt immediately was the love. I felt the love from these men. And these dudes were gnarly. Like, they were tough looking guys. And they loved on me right where I was at, you know, and that brought me to His place. Then we opened up the Westminster campus, and then I heard Pastor Joe preach. And when I heard him preach, something inside of me was like, you're home, you know, how authentic, how real he was. I just felt like I wasn't judged. I was loved on, and I was accepted for who I am. And I learned about God through the scripture, and I learned how much He loves me, and that helped me to love myself. And a big reason why I turned to drugs and alcohol most of my life before was because I didn't love myself. I didn't know how to. I didn't know what that looked like. But the Word of God teaches us that. Amen? And so, I have a sobriety date of April 26, 2016. And thank you. As my good brother Kenny says, I don't say that to impress you, but I'm impressed. But what it took to get there? 4 detoxes, 3 sober livings, 4 DUIs, you know? And on my 4th DUI in 2015, I ended up taking my truck into the wall under a spirit of suicide trying to kill myself. And that's the truth. You know, and that's who I was in 2015. That was the best thing I had for my life. And by the grace of God, I'm here for a purpose on purpose, just like every single one of you. You know? And I share that because I have to keep it real. I have to be vulnerable. I have to be honest. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this: "For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you." And for me, that was so true in 2015. In that moment, God was with me. God had already gone before me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And there's great hope in that because it's the truth. And that accident, again, should have taken my life, but by the grace of God, it didn't. You know, and it's a true miracle that I'm even here. It's a true blessing that I get the opportunity to get into the Word of God with you guys this morning and share a bit of my testimony and continue to move forward with this. And I shared with you guys, I've been in ministry here for 4 years. So for 4 years, I've been leading the men's ministry, Men Accountable to Christ. I have an amazing group of men around me, our men's council. We do it together. But that was in 2022 when I took over the men's ministry here with the men, obviously God leads us and we follow him. But in 2022 was one of the hardest years of my life. In sobriety, I lost two of my older brothers 10 weeks apart. And my brother Ryan and then my brother Nolan. And they both have been to this church. They both have been at this altar right here and shed tears behind their addiction. And their addiction got the better of them, you know? And I share that because that was when I stepped into ministry at this church. And it's like, okay, so now what? You know, the enemy's like, now what? What are you going to do? Are you going to fold up or are you going to step in? And at that time, I'm all in. I got nowhere else to go, like Pastor Joe used to say. And at that time, I pressed all in by getting into his word, by showing up Wednesday nights, by shedding tears in prayer with God, by shedding tears with my brothers, and they helped carry me through that season. And I share that with you guys because following God, there's going to be difficult times. There's going to be trial and tribulation, but we fix our eyes on him. We root ourselves in the word of God. We apply it to our life and we connect with people who are doing the same thing. And we must have people in our life that are further along that journey. During that time, I was meeting with Pastor Joe. I continually meet with Pastor Chris and Pastor Daniel. These men are further along the journey than I am because I'm learning and growing just as we all are. Amen. So just kind of wanted to phrase that so you know, hey, why is this guy talking today? You know, just to share a bit of my story. And so Pastor Chris has been in Ephesians. We are going to be jumping into chapter 4, towards the end of chapter 4. You know, last week, I feel like we kind of had to run through it based off time. And so I'm going to pick up kind of where he was, and then we're going to be in the first 10 verses of chapter 5 today. So if you guys have your Bible, you can turn to that. If you have the app on your phone, you can get on there. If you have neither, we'll have scripture here for you, so don't trip. And so Ephesians context, really quick. The author, the Apostle Paul, while he's imprisoned in Rome, it's written around AD 60 to 62. The book of Ephesians is addressed to the believers in Ephesus, which at the time is a pagan city filled with idol worship, immorality, and spiritual confusion. So at that time, it's filled with idol worship, immorality, and spiritual confusion. Does that sound familiar? Right? Same thing we're dealing with today, which is so cool because here we can read this epistle, we can pray and meditate on it, and we can apply it to our life. We have the solution. We have the answers to the test. We just got to get in the word for it. The purpose of Ephesians is to remind Christians who they are in Christ and how they are called to live because of that identity. Chapters 1 through 3 is about what God has done for us, our position, identity, and inheritance in Christ. Chapters 4 through 6, how we live in unity, holiness, love, and walking as new people. The word walk in the Greek is peripatio, meaning lifestyle, conduct, daily pattern. So our lifestyle, our conduct, our daily pattern should reflect Christ. How can we do that? We must be in his word. It's not like a mandatory get in the word of God, right? We do it so we can walk and represent him. We're called to imitate Christ in everything that we do. But if we're not in the word, it makes it very difficult. And so that's why we get in the word, so we know, oh, okay, I'm going through this. There's the solution. Oh, I'm going through that. There's the solution. None of us have to fight this fight alone. Amen? And so the goal, like I said, is we pattern our lives after Christ. In order to do so, we must be rooted in his word. Since we will be in chapter 5, let's look back at chapter 4. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 through 24. I'm going to be reading today out of the NLT. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So Paul contrasts the old man before the new man in Christ. Which is interesting, in Christ is mentioned over 30 times in the first three chapters of Ephesians. Right? The new man is to reflect God's character. How we live rightly, how we live purely and devoted to God. And the verse, as I was, you know, putting together my notes and doing this study over the last week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, when Pastor Chris asked me if I would be willing to preach, which instantly I was like, no. But then God was like, yes. I was like, okay. Because it's nerve-wracking, right? Let's be real. The verse that came to mind was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Which reads, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And a good note to write down is Christianity is not an improvement. It is a replacement. You know, it is not an improvement. It is a complete replacement. And I'm going to jump into Ephesians, still in chapter 4. We're going to go verses 30 to 32. And we have to cover these before starting chapter 5, verse 1, because it's verse 1 starts with therefore, which is also referred to as so then. So we have to look at the scriptures that came before it to understand where we're at. So 30 through 32. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Powerful. So we see the contrast. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as through Christ has forgiven you. And for me, this hit home. This putting together this message, I have a whole nother new respect for Pastor Chris, because it's like it just convicts you. As you're doing it and spending time in the Word, it's just like, you know what I mean? And it's been just convicting for me, which is amazing, but gnarly at the same time. And so this reminded me of harsh words specifically. One thing that I used to really struggle with before getting married to my beautiful wife, and even in the beginning of our relationship, I'd say, let's keep it real, was harsh words. I would lash out in harsh words whenever my feelings got hurt. And it was like a defense mechanism, you know? I don't know if any of you guys can relate. I might be the only one. That's okay. but I look back on all my relationships, and that's what ruined all my relationships. The things I would say when my feelings would get hurt because I was sad, you know? I would immediately just retaliate with words just to keep people far from me. And when Tori came into my life, we were dating, and I remember we got into an argument, and I acted just the way I'd always acted. I retaliated with harsh words. And she said, cool, we're done. You're never going to talk to me like that again. I was like, what? I thought this, well, I was waiting for you to come back. Like, what are we doing? And I met with Pastor Joe, and Pastor Joe was like, good. I'm glad she left you. You know, because that's the type of woman you need. So if someone's going to stick around with that kind of thing, then that's not the person you need in your life. So you owe her amends. You owe her apology. And whatever she does with it's on her, but you need to keep your side of the street clean. And I was like, okay. So we met. We had a conversation. I owned my side. We ended up getting back together. Shortly after, we got married. And that was October 1st of 2020, 10-1-21. I remember. I would never forget. Help me, Jesus. But I share that because harsh words destroyed relationships. I had to walk through that. I had to repent. I had to turn the other direction. I had to get in the Word of God, which says a gentle answer turns away wrath. So if my feelings get hurt or I allow somebody to disrupt that, a gentle answer turns away wrath. The Word says to be tender-hearted. And since we've been married, I've never talked to her like that again. Right? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know? And I just share that with you because we all have certain things and areas that we struggle with. But the truth is, the solution's in the Word of God. Now, does that mean I'm perfect? Absolutely not. I'm still a sinner in need of a Savior. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we're growing, but I don't struggle with that thing like I used to. And that's part of the sanctification process for all of us walking with God. Amen. The chipping away of the old man. If I say I love you, Jesus, and then I go home and yell at my wife, that's awkward. Like, what kind of love is that? I don't want no part of it, right? And so whatever that is for you in your life, just identify it, rebuke it, repent from it, you know? And for us, we would pray together. If I felt myself getting upset, I would communicate and we would pray together. So I just want to encourage you with that this morning. We're going to jump into Ephesians chapter 5, leads us right where we're at. Verse 1 and 2, imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. The Greek word for imitators is mimetai, meaning to mimic, copy, or model after. It is where we get the English word mimic. Paul is literally saying, become mimics of God, copy him, pattern your life after him. We imitate God by imitating Christ's love, sacrifice, and forgiveness. And what's cool here, we see the word dear children, right? And in some of like the ESV, it'll say beloved, which the Greek word for beloved is agapeta. I messed that up. There's some scholar out there. I'm sorry. Meaning, dearly loved, cherished, valued, one who is the object of deep, committed love. That's how he sees us. What's our identity? We're children of God, dearly beloved, right? We are cherished, valued, one who is the object of deep, committed love. That's who we are in Christ. Anything that doesn't line up with that is from the enemy, and we bind it and send it right back to the pit of hell. Because sometimes we can struggle with our thought life, and we'll get into that. And sometimes we just beat ourselves up, and it's like, that's not from God. So I want to encourage you. You're a dearly beloved child of God. You are the head and not the tail. You are more than an overcomer. Amen? You don't imitate God to earn his love. You imitate God because you are already loved. Now I'm going to say that again. You don't imitate God to earn his love. You imitate God because you are already loved. And in Leviticus, you know, I had to drop into some Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2. Moses wrote under the inspiration of God, give the following instructions to the entire community of Israel. You must be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And so Leviticus 19:2 was written around 1445 BC, about 1500 years before Ephesians 5. That's significant because the message was preached over 1500 years apart. It says the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But now you must be holy in everything you do. Just as God who chose you is holy, for the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And holy in the Greek, hagios, means set apart, sacred, different, consecrated for God. We are called to reflect his nature by living set apart lives. One of my favorite verses, John chapter 3, verse 16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We imitate the love of God, which is sacrificially, unconditionally, and continuously forgiving. You cannot show love like God unless you are marked by forgiveness. And that's a gut punch right there. But it's true. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15 reads, "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." Our capacity to forgive reveals our capacity to love. Truly. And so a quick story on that for myself. And again, I like to share stories because I think it helps people identify and keep it real. Plus, it also helps me with my nerves, and you guys are subject to it. So thank you. So with my dad, my parents split when I was very young. They got divorced. My dad's an alcoholic addict. And, you know, he wasn't in my life very much after the age of 5. When he was sober, he was like super dad. Then he started drinking and pill popping and everything changed. And then he just disappeared pretty much. It was like week on, week off, and then here and there, very little. So this went on, say if I was 5 or 6 years old, for decades. And I was very resentful towards him. You know, I felt like he chose the bottle. I felt like he chose pills. I felt like he chose his addiction over us. It wasn't until I became an alcoholic drug addict myself and pushed away my entire family, then I realized, okay, I get it, you know. But for me, 10, 20, 30 years, I was very resentful. I was full of anger. I was full of bitterness. And I allowed that to keep a buffer between us. I wouldn't be there for him. I stopped answering his calls. I allowed that to fuel my addiction. And my daddy issues, call it, that I had, right? And once I stepped into ministry here at the church and got rooted in the Word of God, he started to reach out to me more. And it was like, God was like, what are you going to do? You know, are you going to forgive him or are you going to hold on to that past hurt? And I forgave him instantly, right? I forgave him in a manner of picking up the phone, sharing the Word of God. And I remember talking to my dad and I said, Dad, you have completely messed up this life. But if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you believe it in your heart and you profess it with your mouth, you will be saved. And you will be with me in eternity. And I want you with me in eternity, Dad. Do you want that? Like, yes. Yes. So that started... Right? Okay. Download the Bible app. Let me show you these verses. You'll get a daily verse. When you get one that you like, send it to me. Let's talk about it. And that created this relationship between us where he'd get a daily verse and send it to me and he'd be like, oh, I like this or this. Now he's still getting drunk. He's still popping pills. So he's a little, you know, he's feeling himself a little too much sometimes. But I loved him right where he was at, just as Jesus calls us to do. And that led me forgiving him, encouraging him to download the Bible app, getting the word in him, allowed him to be open to do the sinner's prayer with me and give his life to Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's crazy. And so in 2023, my dad had he had multiple heart attacks. He's at the gas station in Apple Valley or Victorville, middle of nowhere, and ended up having another heart attack. And they found him in the gas station and he's in the hospital and he's on the breathing, whatever it's called. Yes. Thank you. They say, hey, they have my cell phone number in his records and that's it. And they say, hey, we just want you to know, like, your dad only has your information here with your cell phone number written down. We found him. Here's his state. You might want to come out because we don't know if he's going to live through this. And so I called my brother Stephen, and Steve and I went to the high desert and went by his bedside, held his hand, I read scripture to him. I prayed with him. And I was able to hold his hand as he took his last breath in that hospital bed. So, if we back up a little bit, put myself in a position where I didn't forgive him. Put myself in a position where I didn't answer those phone calls. Put myself in a position where I didn't share the gospel with him. The last 6 months of his life, my dad, to put it nicely, most selfish person I ever met in my entire life, not always nice. Last 6 months of his life, joins a church in Apple Valley, joins the food ministry. He passed away around Thanksgiving. That day in Thanksgiving, he's passing out turkeys to the homeless in the parks. I mean, and I just share that with you because forgiveness is crucial. And I know that there's people in here who are carrying heavy burdens for people they need to forgive. And I pray that the Lord reveals that person or persons to you and that you can forgive them. And Pastor Joe had put it like this to me. He said, DJ, you're taking the case against them and you're giving it to God. And for me, that was the so beneficial and crucial because, again, like I said, had I not forgiven him, I finally ridded myself of all that hurt, all that pain, all that shame of what's wrong with me. Why wasn't I enough, Dad, that you could stick around? Why'd you need the bottle and pills? I tried to be good at baseball. I tried to be good at football. I did everything you wanted. It healed me from all those things. And that's what God does. And that's why I wanted to share it. And so we're going to get back to the word. Amen? So we're in 3 through 5. Ephesians chapter 5, 3 through 5. We're going to get serious now. This one was another gut punch. Convicting. And the word of God is truth, right? The word of God is truth. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or a greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater worshiping the things of this world. Yikes. Heavy. So immorality. In the Greek, the word is porneia, meaning sexual immorality, illicit sexual behavior, any sexual activity outside of God's design for marriage, any sexual practice outside the covenant of marriage between a man and a woman. Impurity, the Greek word, is akatharsia. Ooh, that's a tough one. Akatharsia. Now I know how Pastor Chris feels when he reads these words. It's gnarly. So, akatharsia means uncleanness. That is which is not clean. Carries the idea of moral filth, inner corruption, unclean thoughts, desires, and motives. It is not just about the outward behavior. It points to what is happening inside the person. And what I had wrote down was our thought life. And I think this is crucial. I know it was for me. How we speak to ourselves, right? Our thought life is crucial to what we believe. Right? Our thoughts turn into words, turn into actions. And so here, Paul is addressing the believers, our thought life. Just because I don't participate in the sin, if I'm still thinking about the sin, I'm still participating in it. Right? If I see it going on and I allow it to consume me, but I'm not doing it, I'm still in it. And so Paul is letting him know you need to repent of that. You need to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This was convicting for me. Because sometimes I feel like that. Well, Lord, I'm not doing that. Well, Lord, I'm doing this. He's like, yeah, but what did you think about last week? Ugh. Okay, I can be better in that arena. And so we'll look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Great scripture for this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So, with the thoughts that we have, and an exercise that I had done a while back to really help me with this, and I got this from a pastor named Craig Groeschel. He wrote this book about the battlefield and the mind. One thing that I did, it was like, hey, throughout the entire day, write out how you talk to yourself. Put pen to paper. Soon as you wake up in the morning, write everything you say to yourself through the entire day. And I did that. And I was like, well, no wonder why I'm upset. So remember, words have power. They can speak life or they can speak death. And it starts with how we talk to ourselves. And it's crucial, right? It's crucial just for how we're going to walk out life and what we go through. And I would encourage you guys to really pay attention to that and try that. A conviction that I felt here, I wrote down the word greed. Greed, of course I was going to try and skip this one. Greed is pleonexia, means the desire to have more. Conviction. Felt convicted. The desire to have more, right? Now, it's not saying it's bad to have more. Of course we want to have more. Of course we want to provide for our family. Of course we want to be able to, you know, be successful and use those things for good things. What it's saying is if I place those things above God, where I am so consumed by needing and wanting more, God is an afterthought. That's where it becomes a problem, keeping God in his right place. And for me, it was a reminder of, you know, the wife and I have been trying to have a baby. We're trying to grow our family. We're trying to establish more of a, you know, savings. And so we've been hyper-focused on that. Obviously still keeping God first, but it reminded me like, hey, God's in control anyways. Hold all your possessions loosely because they're all his anyways, right? As people say, you can't put a U-Haul behind a hearse. We both pass away tonight. We're going to see Jesus. Amen. I'm ready, Jesus. But until then, there's work to do. But if we do, then it's like all that hard work, all that time consumed, all that stuff is just gone. So keep God in his right place, which he should be first. One of my favorite verses, Matthew 6:33. I didn't put this on here. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added onto you. Amen? That's the ESV version. One thing it said as a contrast in here, what to do to deal with these things, if we're seeking out those sexual immoralities or greed or covetousness, right, was to be thankful. Be thankful. Start your day being thankful. And the verse I put was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And so what does that look like? How can we do that in our life? What the wife and I do every morning, we get up, we start our day in the Word. We do a little prayer and meditation, and through that, we give thanks. We give thanks for everything that we have. And that's one thing you can do every single day. Give thanks for all the blessings in your life. It just helps shift our mindset. Instead of focusing on what we don't have, we focus on what we do have. And the greatest blessing of all is our salvation. Amen. What Jesus did for us, his life, his death, his resurrection, his life for my life. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, as our final atonement for sin. So we're going to continue. Chapter 5, we're going to do verses 6 through 10. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this life, this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. And so here we can see, right? Let no one deceive you. This is why we must be in the Word, prayer and meditation, and have people further along the journey in our life to help us learn the Word and apply it to our lives. Reject the lies that downplay sin. And this is heavy. I think we live in a culture that downplays sin. I think that social media, things of this world, things that we're consumed by downplay sin and sin in our life. And we're called to be set apart. We're called to be holy, right? When it says we're called to imitate God, of course we're not God. Never would we be. But we imitate Him because through the Holy Spirit that lives in us, He gives us the strength to imitate Him. It's not us. And so we cannot downplay sin. And I was listening to a sermon by Kosti Hinn. For any of you guys that listen to some sermons online, great one to check out. He said this, and it was powerful. I was walking on the treadmill, getting in my cardio, doing my steps. And he said, if sin is no big deal, then why did the Father allow His Son to die just to save us from the consequences of it? If sin is no big deal, then why did the Father allow His Son to die just to save us from the consequences of it? Heavy. Full of darkness, meaning moral ignorance. Light from the Lord, meaning light as truth revealed. Darkness disguises itself as freedom. And how many of us see that today? Darkness will disguise itself as freedom. And one thing for us, if we tell ourselves a lie, then we start to believe that lie as if it were true. And it becomes our truth. And for me, it reminds me of my sobriety. Before I got sober, I was addicted to pills. I was addicted to alcohol. I was, getting in trouble. I was hurting my family. But at some point, I believed that's who I was. Well, my dad did this. Well, my grandfather died of alcoholism and drank himself to death, locked himself in a room. So I'm going to follow suit. That's going to be my life. I believed the lie as if it were true. And then meeting with people that were further along the journey, they said, you need to tell yourself a new story. You need to tell yourself that is not who you are. That is not the life designed for you. Why don't you get in the Word of God and see how much He loved you? He loved you so much to send His one and only Son to live a sinless, blameless life in thought, word, and deed. To die and to resurrect just so you would have eternity in heaven if you believe. That's your identity. You're a child of God. You are beloved, right? But that was from darkness to light. And even for myself, like I shared with you guys, April 26, 2016 is my sobriety date. Thank you. But for me, it's been a major process. It didn't just happen when I got sober. Like, I got sober, and one of the guys, Roger, I don't know if Roger's here, we call him Father Raj, he let me know, sober, I'm not going to say it out loud behind the pulpit because I'll never be invited back, but I'm going to give you the idea. Son of a, everything's real. I didn't say it. And when he said that to me, I was like, wow, that's so true, because I got sober and now all my problems have surfaced more than ever before. Everything is at the forefront. I realized that the problem was me. The problem was never drugs and alcohol. I turned to that as the solution. And so now I had to work through these things, and I got sober, and it was just no matter what, no matter what happens in my life, I won't get drunk and I won't get high, because I can't afford to get another DUI. I don't want to go to prison, and I don't want to die. That was pretty good motivation. Amen? Right? But it took a process. Like, I got sober the first 3 years of my sobriety. It was just no matter what. I'm not going to get high. I'm not going to get drunk. I'm not going to allow myself to partake in that. And then finally, I realized I still didn't have peace in my life. I was still struggling with anger, with bitterness, with harsh words, with resentment. And then I worked the steps, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, here at this church at that Friday night meeting, Sons of Thunder. And that is what led me to the Bible. The 12 steps in Alcoholics Anonymous led me to the Word of God. And that's what led me to ministry. And that's why I'm here before you today. Right? And it's, I appreciate the love and the support, and I appreciate people coming out, but it's not about me, it's to glorify Him. Because if I do anything right in this life, it's to make an impact on my generation and generations to come through the Word of God. Because this is the truth. We have the answers to the test. We just have to be rooted in it. Amen? And so, the light from the Lord, meaning light as truth, is revealed. In order, we are all called to be the light in this world. We bring light to the darkness. If it's darkness and darkness, you got the blind leading the blind. So we are that lighthouse on the mountaintop for this world. So when they look at my life, they can see that I love Jesus. How can they see I love Jesus? They see the fruits produced in my life, in my wife, right? As an example, you know, they see the things and that follow it. It's not a works-based salvation. It's through faith alone and grace alone. But because I'm saved and because of what Jesus has done for me in my life, the works should follow. I'm a firm believer in that, right? Because that's the conviction and the transformation. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." The darkness represents oppression, sin, and separation from God. The great light is God's intervention, ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Light produces fruit. And so, what is the fruit in your life that the light produces? Light produces fruit. Goodness. So goodness is how we treat others. Righteousness, how we live, and truth, how we think. And I think the fruit of goodness and how we treat others, it's not just how I treat people who like me, not how I treat people who love me and agree with me. How do I treat people who hurt me? How do I treat people that I normally wouldn't hang out with, right? How do I treat those people? Because if you look at Jesus in his life, everyone was the same, whether it be Jew or Gentile. Under him, everyone is the same. So walking in the light simply means asking, does this please the Lord? And does this honor God? Does what I'm doing please the Lord? And does it honor God? And that's a great gauge that any of us can use. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." And how many of us have that light this morning? I believe every single one of us does. Right? Now, how do we walk that out in our daily life? There's going to be times when we fall short, right? There's going to be times when you get frustrated, but you repent and turn the other direction. Recently, the wife and I got a puppy. You want to talk about getting your nerves test? Right? She's the nicest woman I ever met in my life. I've never seen her get so mad ever. I'm putting it on you. No, but me too, right? It's like, here we are in the Word of God, praising God, and then you get a puppy. And she is a American Pit Bull Terrier. And she is wild. But it's like, we have grown so much in the last 5 months dealing with this puppy. Because God has just revealed so much about me. He's like, remember your anger? He's like, remember your harsh words? Boom. He's like, well, oh, you're going to study for your sermon, but then yell at your puppy? Oh, dude, I'm just being real, right? But it's funny because I think every single one of us, we do this thing called life until God comes back or until we're in heaven with him. And we're all in progress. And so hear me on this. It's not perfection. It's progression. When you refer to walking, it's we're walking in a direction. Right? I had heard someone say, if we fall, then at least I'm 6 feet closer. However tall you are. For the wife, she'd be 5 feet and 4 inches closer. Right? But at least I'm that much closer to God. And so wherever you're at in your life, whether it's a 5-month-year-old puppy, or whether it's a spouse, or whether it's a family member who's just off the rails, or a friend who's off the rails, or a job, or whatever it is, it's progression, not perfection. We walk with our eyes on him, right? Fix our eyes on him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added onto you. That's his word. That's his promise. And so we can find courage in that and find hope in that. Amen? And so Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. We are called to live in a way that matches our new identity in Christ. And so if we remember the verses before, throw off your old sinful nature. And so what sins are you still holding on to today that God is revealing to you in this moment? That you need to throw off. And I would encourage you to do so. Because he will honor you in that. Until the next thing comes up. And then you throw that one off. And then the next thing comes up. And that's life. Like, we have to operate with so much grace. I know I look back on just the last 10 years of, like I shared with you guys, my sobriety, the sanctification, ministry, everything that's taken place. And more things will continue to happen in life. But how we deal with it and how we respond to it is what matters most. And so if I'm struggling with a sin, I identify it, I repent, I throw it off, I fix my eyes back on Jesus. I fill myself with the Word of God and I apply it to my life. Amen? And so I hope there's a couple things that you guys can identify too. You know what? Ooh. I've been struggling with this, whatever it may be. And I would encourage you to throw it off, repent, turn and go the other direction. Because I promise you there will be breakthrough. The Word of God, Wednesday nights, we always say this. We get in the Word to learn it. Then we apply it. Then we experience the transformation from it. Through application comes transformation. And by application, we could also say obedience. Knowing there's much grace. But we don't abuse that grace. Like we read earlier, we do not take sin lightly. If someone tells me they're a Christian and they love Jesus and they accepted him as their Lord and Savior, but then nothing in their life matches up with it, I'm not going to say whether or not they go to hell because that's never my place. God can do anything at any moment with anyone, especially before they take their last breath. But that's not the type of faith I want. I want the faith that transforms, because that's what the Bible says it does. Transforms our minds, transforms our hearts. It is a new identity. It is a complete replacement, right? And so that should be reflected in our life. And so I have three takeaways for everyone. How am I on time? Oh, 10 minutes. Not bad. I might even end a little early for you guys. That's cool. Is that allowed? Normally everybody goes over. They're going to invite me back. So three takeaways for everyone. One, and if you're taking notes or anything like that, I would jot these down because they will help you. They've helped me tremendously. And as I'm putting this message together, I just think, what has helped me in my life to get me to where I'm at? I still have so much room to grow and so much more to do, but these things have been staples from this message. One, live from your new identity. I encourage you, church. Encourage myself. Live from your new identity. You are not your past. I shared with you guys what I've been through. 4 detoxes, 3 sober livings, 4 DUIs. What? Now I'm here preaching a sermon? What? Hallelujah. But it's all by the grace of God, right? And my new identity. Number 2, be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. Don't just memorize it where you can say it and reference, oh, in Revelation. It's like, dude, apply it to your life. I would encourage you. The more I read scripture, the less I know. The more I read the word of God, the less I know. So be a doer of the word. Don't just hear God's truth. Apply it. Real change happens when obedience becomes your lifestyle. We talked earlier to imitate God, to pattern our life after God. How do we do that? We get in the word. We're obedient to the word. Be doers of the word. Number 3, walk in love and light. Walk in love and light. And I'd written, forgive like Christ forgave you. Choose what is good, right, and true, and ask daily, does this please the Lord? And so just like I asked you, church, to identify a sin in your life that you're going to throw off this morning, that you're going to say, you know what? There's the reminder I was asking for, God, because that's not even in my notes. Do that. And next, with forgiveness, identify that one person in your heart, in your mind, that you need to forgive and that you need to take the case and give it back to God. And I would encourage you to do that this morning, because there will be freedom in it. God will break chains. God will move. God will break bondage that holds us back from serving Him in forgiveness. There's no such thing as convenient love. Love is sacrificial. Love is unconditional. And love is ongoing forgiveness. Amen? So those are the 3 takeaways. And like Pastor Chris, I never want to end a service without giving you guys an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Definitely wouldn't want to end a service if maybe some of us have kind of fell away. You know, we believe in God. We know we're saved. We know when the day of judgment comes, we'll be in heaven. But we've kind of fell away from being rooted in the Word of God and being intentional. And we want to rededicate our life. So, church, if you could participate with me, if you could just please bow your head and close your eyes. I promise you, nobody's looking at you. No one's going to take your wallet. I might. Just kidding. So please just bow your head. close your eyes. We're going to have a couple deacons come forward. If you end up raising your hands, we'll pray with you. And we'll partner with you in this. So don't be shy. So with every head bowed, eyes closed, I want you to take one deep breath for me. If you have never given your life to Christ, and today you would like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity. Please raise your hand. Amen. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and maybe you backslid and want to rededicate your life today to Jesus, please raise your hand. Amen. I see your hands. I see your hands. Church, can you pray this prayer with me as one body? Jesus, I confess you as Lord. I turn away from my old life and I choose you today. Forgive me, cleanse me, and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Teach me to walk in your truth, to live in your light, and to follow you with my whole heart. From this day forward, I belong to you. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I am new. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church. So I just like to pray us out and thank you guys again for showing up this morning. I'm truly humbled and just truly blessed to be able to preach the word today and spend this time with you. It means so much for you guys showing up. So Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, just to preach your word, your truth, Lord. May we decrease as you increase. May we continue to seek your truth in your word, Lord God. Help us to apply it to our life. Lord, you refer to us as your dearly beloved children. Your agape love, Lord God, and we receive that this morning. We thank you for that. And so I just lift up the church, Lord, the body, us, as you are the head, Jesus Christ. We just come before you and give thanks for everything that you're doing in and through our lives. Continue to lead us, guide us, and direct us. I pray that your word just comes alive in us like it never has before, that it makes sense like it never has before, so that we can walk it out, so we can be the light of this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church.